You're listening to the Isaka Podcast. In this Security Series podcast, we're speaking with Frank Downs, Director and Subject Matter Expert of Isaka's Cybersecurity Practice. In this podcast, we're discussing artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things, and machine learning. So Frank, can you begin by talking a little bit about the hype around AI and machine learning and some of the ways in which they're being used?
Something that we've seen gain prevalence lately has been the increased discussion around artificial intelligence and machine learning. And it's rather interesting because there's a lot of different conceptions people have when they talk about artificial intelligence and machine learning. Now, my favorite is what you see in the popular media. You have a lot of individuals who, when you talk about AI, well, the first thing you think of is, you know, Skynet, and everyone's afraid of what's going to be happening, you know, when things get, quote, too smart. And a lot of that paranoia at times kind of translates over to today's actual field. What's interesting is it might have even been up to a year ago, was Facebook, I believe, worked to create an actual two system where two AIs spoke to each other. And the only rule that they had to for these AIs were you had to speak English and you had to work, you had to use a language that humans knew. And they chose English in this instance. And after a certain amount of time, it didn't matter. The AIs began performing tasks, but doing it through speaking, it looked like English, but they had associated different terms and ideas and references to these words. And as a result, they pretty much invented their own language. Now, what happened? Facebook then turned off the two AIs and said, well, this is concerning. And it was concerning for them because they didn't know the language. And for them, the whole concept was, well, we can't have AIs speaking a language that we don't know. And that's where a lot of this fear goes, you know, from popular fiction and people apply it to today. But the reality of the situation is it's nothing so nefarious that when you think about things such as business processes and how we're using AI in our everyday life, there are a lot of different elements to it that make it, that when you consider these elements, it's not too concerning. So I'll start by talking about machine learning. Now, machine learning is kind of the precursor in this instance to AI and artificial intelligence. Because what we have in this instance is a pretty much a self-efficiency process. Let's put it that way, a self-efficiency process. And what that does, what we're doing with machine learning is the machines are pretty much watching over time. They're seeing what's happening and they're making these correlations, right? So when they see this action is usually taken. When they see this occur, then they do this thing and so forth. And based off that, they make there's an inference, right? And the algorithm then self-improves and you get, and at least I'll put it in the cybersecurity context, right? You'll get an intrusion detection system or an intrusion prevention system that can work a bit quicker as a result because it's seen certain elements before and they go, okay, last time I saw this, this was done. Last time I saw this, this was done, and so forth. But you also notice what I'm saying right there. Last time I saw this, this was done. And what that shows is that the agency of this was done, where it learned from, those were the actual humans that were in charge of machine learning or, in certain instances, the AI as well. So what you have here is an we'll say a bunch of code that's self-learning based off the behaviors of the individuals in charge. Now, this should be almost reassuring, but can also be a little concerning too, because you have to, as the person in charge of that AI or that machine learning code, make sure that you do it right each time. Because the goal here is to improve the efficiency of the process rather than, you know, create this big computer that'll take everyone's jobs and so forth. We're still at the level of, let's just make sure we show it the right things at the right times. Otherwise, what you have is a contaminated data set. An example in this instance of a contaminated data set happened rather recently in the last year or so when Microsoft put out an AI that they told everyone about so that the AI could learn from people on the internet. Well, that was a terrible idea because then a bunch of people with malicious intent got together and contaminated the data set and made a rather hurtful AI for people to talk to. So when you hear about all these people who get a little concerned and they're like, oh no, AI, oh no, machine learning, our jobs are going away and so forth, it's important to remember that there's still a lot of inherent weaknesses in here, in these processes and in these systems that can be exploited or can be done poorly or can break. And that, in fact, they're not really taking anything away from anyone. Rather, they're enhancing. What they're doing is they're enhancing processes. The goal, I like to make the equation to Excel spreadsheets, right? accountants were always accounting beforehand. When Microsoft Excel came along, accountants didn't lose their jobs, right? But they were able to become much more efficient. All of a sudden, AutoSum kind of changed everyone's world, right? So that's a huge benefit there. And you can see the same thing with these well-trained, well-tuned machine learning codes and the AIs that are coming out. So as long as they're maintained properly and they're treated gingerly like they should be in this instance to make sure they're as efficient as possible, organizations, businesses, and many cybersecurity elements in this instance, right, will be able to become much more efficient in, for example, in the cybersecurity realm, in reacting to a potential incident or reacting to a potential attack.
What are some of the benefits of AI and machine learning?
The example I already used was how you've seen it in cybersecurity, and I'll go a little bit deeper into that before I talk about others, right? The one with cybersecurity is you're seeing a lot of IDS and IPS, intrusion detection systems and intrusion prevention systems, are implementing machine learning and AI to become much more efficient. What that means is if you think about your traditional organization, let's take a big organization, for example. They receive a lot of attacks every day or a lot of exploitation attempts every day. And it is incumbent upon a finely tuned IDS or IPS or IDPS in this instance to protect the organization from these types of attacks. So incident responders, cybersecurity professionals, have started to take AI and machine learning and place it into this whole setup so that those AI can learn based off what the actual responders are doing and from there make the same inferences when they see something similar. This is helpful because ideally, when done appropriately and tuned just right, yeah, you can then see the actual AI or machine learning code in this instance recognize a potential threat that would be a new one. That's the goal there, right? Something that's never been seen before, but maybe it has similar traits to one that's seen before. Because if you think about it, that's what humans do. When there's a new attack or there's a new exploitation, the human who has never seen it before goes, well, it seems to have similar traits to this and this and this. I should maybe block this from coming into the organization and then go from there. That's what they're going for with this AI implementation in cybersecurity. Now, it's even going further. You have machine learning in a lot of things already. For example, here at the house, I have machine learning in my thermostat. I have a Nest thermostat, but the whole goal with the Nest thermostat that in the line of Nest that Google's put out is to learn based upon your inputs. So it knows, for example, that, hey, when it's cold out, I like it warm and I like it this warm. Or even more interesting, when I'm not home, what's the point in heating the house if it's cold out? Or what's the point in cooling the house if it's cold out? Now, it's gone a step further too. What they're starting to do and what they have done is then they try to use predictive analysis based upon my activity within the house. So they can make a reasonable guess that I am, you know, at the house between, let's say, the hours of, we'll say 7 at night and then till 9 in the morning. It knows to start cooling the house, saying maybe around 5 p.m. So it'll be the temperature that I like by the time I get home at 7. And it knows that after I leave at 9 in the morning, well, then it can shut off and save me energy, right, by not having to cool a house. Now, that's just one example that they're using. Another really interesting example that they've just put out rather recently is Google has taken this kind of to the next step with, I'll use the phrase telemarketing, but telemarketing is only one application. They've taken kind of their assistant capability and applied it in such a way that you can ask Google, hey, make a reservation at this restaurant at a certain time and set it up for me now. Well, Google will call the restaurant and it'll use an AI to talk to the person who answers. And it's kind of had a jarring effect to the industry because if you listen to the AI, it sounds really, really authentic. And they figured out by putting in certain pauses and using the word, and let me check real quick, and things like that, they can make their AI sound a little more like a human. Well, there were two kind of immediate responses to this, where everyone who was on the business side of that, you know, saying to the restaurants, for example, would start saying things. You'd see, you saw posts saying, if you're going to use us, you need to tell us. We should always know. And as a result, Google then said, for those who are testing this, now, whenever they use it, there's always a notice before it actually starts talking and so forth, so that whoever's talking to this computer, or this AI, knows that they're not talking to a real human. What's even more interesting is that telemarketing firms and so forth are really, really interested in this. And you can kind of see the obvious thing there, right? Because how many times have you called, we'll talk about the cable company or the phone company, and you have just been stuck in a nightmare of, say, your name, or a very robotic voice telling you to say your name, dial one, press these things. Well, I imagine, and they have clearly seen it, right? And there's been a couple articles out there on it, that there is a lot of potential for them in this, because if you have an angry customer calling and they feel like they're talking to a real person right away, well, there you go. You're on your way to mitigating the situation, the potential negative customer's experience. So those are a couple of the applications. And it comes with a double-edged sword there, right? Especially, and I'll go back to the example with my house. My house at one point with that thermostat did not get its guessing right. And then when we came home one day, when the family came home, it was really hot out and it did not turn the AC on. So there's nothing more, I'm being sarcastic here, but there's actually nothing less enjoyable than sitting in a hot house with a grumpy two-year-old who doesn't really understand thermostats or temperature and just knows that it's hot and complaining. So they're not always learning that well, but they are getting a little bit better and making the process more efficient for people overall.
So a lot of people have virtual assistants, and you mentioned having a connected thermostat. What are some of the security implications of having so many connected devices?
There's a lot of considerations that people have to take. And it's really interesting you say that, because we have two labs that we've put out here at Isaka in the last quarter that specifically speak to this. We worked on these labs with the Army, and these labs specifically go through potential vulnerabilities that are inherent with the Internet of Things. And next quarter, we're going to be releasing two labs that speak to the machine learning element. So I'll give everyone a sneak peek there too, tell them what to look out for. And if you're interested, just as a side note, shameless plug, if you're interested in any of these, please go to nexus.isaka.org, and anyone can get them there. But the considerations that we've identified and that we've seen are many. So where to start? I will give you a short story, and this is a true story of something that happened to me several years ago. So as I mentioned to you earlier, I have a smart house. Well, I at least have a smart thermostat, but going a little bit deeper, I have a smart house. I started investing in smart house infrastructure here at the home about 2013. And one of the things that I did was first thing I did was I made the doorknob, the lock smart. I made several light switches smart. And as I mentioned, the thermostat and so forth. Well, I had all of this connected to an Asus RTN66U router. And a few of our listeners will understand probably where I'm going to go after this. Because while I loved the router and it was great and it was fantastic, Asus pushed out an update to that router that when the update went out, it left the FTP port open. And as a result, one day I logged into my router and I found a letter from the 4chan board that Anonymous likes to frequent telling me, hey, your router's open and this letter's been sent to everyone we can find that has it there. Well, that's unnerving, right? This is now meaning that, hey, and I was using this as part of my IoT infrastructure as a side note, because I was using it to store data on that I could get. This meant that everything was exposed potentially, because if you have that FTP file transfer protocol port open, they can send a payload. Things can happen on that router. Next thing you know, everything's exposed. And in a little bit of paranoia, I may have taken a few of those light switches apart at one time just to double check. But, I wouldn't trade it. Because at this point, I can turn my lights on and off by talking to my Amazon Echo. It learns when I might want the lights on or off. And I can even tell it when I want lights on or off, or when I want the doors to be locked or unlocked and things like that. It's really great. It's a game changer. But there are inherent vulnerabilities there. Another vulnerability that came up was, I believe it was either at the tail end of last year or the beginning of this year, where people had their Amazon Echoes turn on, record their conversations, and then send them to other people in their contact list without telling them. And that is incredibly concerning, right? That is a big security consideration as well. Now, these are considerations that people should have already had on their mind. I should make a note of that, because certain phone providers have been doing this for almost a decade at this point. But as you've seen these dedicated devices show up in people's homes, that's where people start to really put two and two together. This is a concern that there have been companies that have gone and taken, we'll call it room audio samples, where they're pulling what you're saying at that time and then sending it back to their servers. Now, you agree to this and all the long EULA agreements that you end up signing, but it can still be concerning because not everyone reads those EULAs and it can be kind of surprising. Very similar to the way Facebook was upfront with what they had been doing for a while. So have these organizations as well. It just takes time to go through the EULA and read those. So when you have all these smart items that are coming up, it just creates a bigger attack vector. Am I saying don't use them? No, of course not. I love my smart house. It's fantastic. But you should be aware that you are creating a bigger attack surface, increasing your risk for exploitation. And there's things you should be concerned about and think about and wonder, is what I'm trading off here worth the risk? Is what I'm getting worth the risk?
And if we could speculate a little bit, where do you think the future of AI and IoT is going? And what are some of the developments that you think we might see in the next few years?
Well, I think it's a really great question, Safia, because I think there's a couple different directions that all of this could go. I really hope that it goes to, one way or another, it's going to make things more efficient, right? People are going to be able to improve their processes if this is applied appropriately. But if it isn't, there's always going to be room for anyone to take advantage of this. So, for example, let's speculate. In, let's say, 10 to 20 years, right? I don't know if you've seen those great, well, they look a little bulky, right? Those AR glasses that Microsoft's made. And what's really great is that they provide streaming data. They provide you little pop-ups and things like that. And these are going to become thinner over time, and people could potentially adopt them greater. And with those, AI and machine learning. Well, imagine the medical field, right? If these become really helpful, then who knows? Maybe you have these glasses that say to the surgeon, you know, make incision here, now cut here, and so forth. It can really enhance the process and make you a more effective surgeon, right? But what if someone hacks those and then places your incision spot maybe 2 inches too far to the left? That's concerning, right? So with every pro, there's a con in this instance. Same thing with what you're seeing now. And a lot of this is happening now, right? With IoT and machine learning and so forth. You have Progressive Insurance, a great company here in the States. If you want to get a better rate for your insurance, they have a plugin for your car that sends them streaming data. Well, that's great. Especially if you're a safe driver, it's incredible. You get some great savings. But if that stream's compromised, it could totally hurt a lot of people and their rates. And the same thing with AI as it becomes more prevalent. I love my Amazon Echo, but that doesn't mean that it's not vulnerable to certain things. And it just keeps getting smarter and smarter. You're seeing the natural evolution of these things. So I think in the future, there will be greater integration of it. For example, you'll see more of it in cars, so you can have a safer driving experience. As you're driving down the road, you can say, hey, Alexa, you know, what's the weather today without having to use anything on your phone or things like that, or give me better directions. So it's going to be great. But then again, in that instance, in that scenario, that just opens up another potential exploit vector for your car, too. So I think that it's going to be great. The future is going to be awesome as long as we handle it appropriately and take certain considerations into account as we move forward with these things.
And finally, is there anything else you'd like to add for our listeners?
If I could add one thing and, you know, have a huge takeaway for anyone, if I could sum a lot of this discussion up as something that I just want everyone to remember, it's that AI, machine learning, it's not the boogeyman. What I think you will see coming down the pike is more of enhancement of capability, not loss of capability or loss of employment and things like that. I think when handled judiciously, it can really help people realize their full potential, and it's not something to be afraid of immediately.
Thanks, Frank. And that's all we have time for in this edition of the podcast. If you want to hear more from Frank and get all of the latest breaking security news, be sure to subscribe to the Isoca podcast so you never miss the monthly security podcast.